I was thinking last week, what topic might be of interest to you? This should do it. I'll be very angry if it didn't. Anger. Well, a picture tells 1,000 words. Do you ever think back about the moments you were angry? Do you have profound regrets of what just came out? Oh yeah, it's after. It's not whilst you're at it. In fact, sometimes whilst you're at it, it feels kind of good. But it isn't. It's afterwards. The harm, the hurt that we have caused. You know, it is one of the most difficult things. I'm going to come back to this picture, but I just want to continue. Firstly, my question to you. Is anger sin?
Absolutely.
It can be. One, can be. Brief question.
Brief. Somewhere in the Bible it says,
"Be angry, but sin not." Okay, you're stealing my show. Wait. He's good, he is, I tell you. Good one. Okay, is anger sin? We'll come back to that. And I agree with you. Okay, let's have a look here. Well, it can be, but it is an emotion that we have, and we all have it. And by the way, we're created in the image of God. Here you are in your car. And you're driving along, and you know what the traffic is like. And then you leave for safety reasons a bit of space between you and the car in front of you, and some smart aleck cuts you off. And you go like that, and then you discover the one that's in front of you must be a Christian because he's pointing to heaven. Can anger be justified? That moment you feel fully justified. Isn't it strange that our short fuse gets so easily lit when we're in traffic? Try it on somebody else. Just like that. Man, it's getting worse. And the worst spot is the eastern suburbs in Sydney. We're very benevolent on the North Shore. We're very benevolent on the North Shore. Okay. A quick-tempered man does foolish things. Have you ever wanted to throttle your computer? Headbutt it. Give it one. Couple of hours down the drain, just like that. No proper explanation, no sympathy, couldn't care less. Do it all over again. Or it freezes on you. Well, you can do foolish things. You start punishing that computer, you start hitting that computer, that's a foolish thing. Because it won't improve things. Whenever you fly in a rage, you seldom make a safe landing. I quite like that statement. It's true. Ever flew in a rage and then you want to get out of it? We'll talk about that. Very difficult. You seldom make a safe landing. Okay. A hot-tempered man, this is Proverbs 15 verse 18. It says here, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. And that's true every time. If you are easily angered, you have an argument all the time, everywhere, anytime. Do you know anybody like that?
Yeah, Satan.
Yeah, me.
It's not time for confessions, my son. It's not time for confessions. Let's turn this a little bit. Okay. All right. Well, a short fuse is a terrible thing. By the way, it's sin. So there you are. Now we go further and we have a look at this one. He who answers before listening, that is his shame. Do you ever get these people? You start opening your mouth, you start talking to them, and they already draw the conclusion, and they're not going to listen to you anymore. Don't you hate that? The moment you talk, two sentences later, they are talking. I'll tell them you said that. Do you understand? They already draw the conclusions of what you're going to say. And it's a terrible thing when you were not going to say that at all anyway. And then really you look an absolute muck, don't you? When you're told that is not what was meant or said. I gave him a piece of my mind, but the question is, could you afford to lose that piece of your mind? That's an interesting question. What a statement. I gave him or her a piece of my mind. Can you afford that? A hot-tempered man pays the penalty. Do you know what that does? Do you know what it does to your blood pressure to get angry? It shoots up. What is the main killer in our society? Cardiovascular disease, correct? What is the main culprit of impaired cardiovascular conditions? High blood pressure. Anger is a very strong major contributor to high blood pressure. If you want to live longer, don't get angry. Even if we go a lot over time, don't get angry. Proverbs 19, verse 19. Anger then can get awful, isn't it? When it turns violent, of course, we have left the realm of reason. And whilst it occurs, and be careful with your judgments, there's no excuse for it. Now, this is a terrible thing, and I want to look at that a little bit as well. Not so much just in the interpersonal of domestic, but overall. Anger can take you somewhere where you did not want to go. It's very common. It's very common. Very, very common. Couple of questions about your anger that I think that are always very pertinent. Is your anger directed towards a person? Well, we learned in the Sabbath school that every person is the property of God. So are you angry with the property of God? Yeah? Now, there's a problem with that, and I'm going to explain that further. Is it anger that seeks revenge? Do you want to get back? Now, we Christians here, most of us, and we know the text where it says, "Vengeance are mine, says the Lord. I shall repay." But it doesn't need a helping hand. Do you get that? Okay. All right. Is anger that seeks revenge? It is sin. No question about it. It's wrong. It's wrong. Is it anger that is cherished? Have you ever been yourself, or could you think of a person, no names, that does continually dwell on something that is the cause of their anger? Do you know if anger is a permanent abode in your mind, it is sin? It is sin. Many people, they do. It's a strong motivator. It is destructive. It also can totally immobilize you. You got to be so careful. Anger is like a fire. Fire is a wonderful servant, but it is a cruel master. So, would you cherish anger? It is sin. Is it anger that has an unforgiving spirit? Well, if you are angry with a person, let's talk about this. If you are angry with a person, can you forgive that person? Yeah? Not while you're angry. Now, there's honesty. The Bible teaches that we have to forgive from the heart. Now, to the Hebrew, the heart is the mind, the intellect. So whatever wrong they have done, you must ban it from your mind. I'll forgive, they say, but I don't forget. Have they forgiven? If they have not forgiven, the anger is still there. The anger is still there. Do you know that this could keep you out of heaven? It can. It can. This is why we need to address this. Is it anger that has an unforgiving spirit? Ephesians 4 says this. Be angry and sin not. You're allowed to be angry in certain circumstances. Not all anger is sin. Because be angry and sin not. Do you understand what it's saying here? Okay. Let not the sun go down on your anger, your wrath. What do you propose this would mean? Suppose. Paint a picture. Not really. You come home, everything goes wrong, and there's anger in the house. Doesn't have to be husband and wife. Often is. Could be the kids. You know what kids are like. So there's anger. The Bible says, don't let the sun go. When it becomes evening, you better... Sorted. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Because if you do and you lie there at nighttime angry, you won't have a good sleep. And you're sinning. Have you noticed, at me, I know you're all perfect, I'm not, see? When you have anger, you think the worst of the other person, don't you? Yes, you do. You get all the reasons why you should be justified. That makes sense? Because none of us like feeling guilty. Feeling angry is bad, but feeling guilty is worse, isn't it? I think it is. She should have never done that. She shouldn't have said that. Or they should have. You understand? You know, so we do this. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Look at this. And do not give the devil a foothold. If you keep anger in your mind, in your heart, you go to bed with anger, you give Satan a foothold. Why? When you're angry, you don't forgive. Forgive us our debt as we forgive those. Why did he teach us to pray like that? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Why did he say that? Now, he didn't say, He didn't say, forgive us our trespasses because we have forgiven others their trespasses against us. Do you understand this very important detail? You can't earn forgiveness. You cannot earn forgiveness. It is a gift. But you better pass on the gift. Remember the story of the one that owed so much, he could never repay. He got pardon. He finds a fellow servant and he really wants to squeeze it out of him there and puts him in jail. See, I tell you why Jesus taught this. If you can forgive, please listen. If you can forgive, really forgive, the Holy Spirit is in your heart.
Amen.
You won't make it into heaven without the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need, desperately, we need the Holy Spirit. We can be so short-fused. We can take offense so quickly. It happens inside and outside the church. And sometimes there's not a lot of difference, folks. There should be, but there isn't. We need the Holy Spirit in us. The older I become, I realize what we really need. Because Jesus says, the Spirit he takes of mine, and then he gives it to you. That is what we need. Do not give the devil a foothold. Proverbs again. The discretion, here is a very... If you want to, you know, a cure for anger. Now, let me put it this way. What is better than a cure? Prevention. Here is prevention. The discretion or the wisdom of a man makes him slow to anger. And his glory is to overlook a transgression. You know what this text is saying? The text is saying if someone does something wrong, please overlook it. Overlook it. Don't react. You know, you ought to try that. I have learned up to a point. I'm still a long way to go. I have learned to at times say to myself, don't take offense. It isn't worth it. You can walk to the graveyards. 90%, more than 90%, got angry for nothing. What over? What about? They dead. What's the point? Am I making too much noise for the little one? Oh, dear. He's angry at me, but how am I going to explain it to him? He's such a good baby. Got to keep the voice down. Yeah.
Many times offense is taken when none was ever intended.
Isn't that ever so true? It was never intended. Never intended. They are the saddest occasions. The glory of character, that's what it means. You have strength of character if you, the proverb says, you have strength of character if you can overlook an offense. Are you with me? Can you start doing that? Truly try that. It works. It does work wonderful. In your prayer every day, pray for the grace, pray for the whatever it takes not to take offense. You live a much happier life. You do. The man here, Aristotle. Aristotle is the 4th century BC, philosopher, Greece. He was the pupil of Plato, one of the wisest men who ever lived there in the Areopagus, where he had his discussions. He said this about anger. And I like what he said about anger. He said, anybody can become angry. Is that true? It's very easy. Just try, you know. Anybody can become angry. Anybody can become angry. He said this, and this is very interesting. But to be angry with the right person to the right degree, now notice he qualifies this, to be angry with the right person to the right degree at the right time for the right purpose and in the right way. Blimey. How can you do that? That's what he said. He said, and rightfully so, he said, this is not within everybody's power. But he knew a lot about anger. And that's interesting. His comment is extremely interesting. Very. Alexander conquered the world, but not himself. Alexander died at the age of about 33. In about 6 years, he conquered just about the whole well-known world of that day. He had with him from his youth, and they grew up together, a trusted general, a very close friend by the name of Cleitus. And wherever Alexander went, he went. They were close, like a brother. But Alexander liked to have a few drinkies from time to time. If ever you want to see what happens to people when they drink, it's a terrible thing, isn't it? I am so glad that we as a denomination have taken a stand and say, no, we don't need it. That's it. And it's right. It's right. It's right. Anyway. And Cleitus had drunk himself a fair bit, and then he made sport. He made fun of Alexander. He didn't mean to. He just did. And Alexander took a javelin and spear he wanted to really frighten his friend, and he threw it at him and he killed him. And when he sobered up, really sobered up, when he looked at that body, when he really sobered up, Alexander from that day would sink from time to time in depressions. He would drink and he would cry out for his friend. He would cry out during the night. You could hear him. He missed him. All about anger. And of course the booze is, we know that. So it's all about anger. He couldn't conquer himself. That was a terrible thing. Cain rose up against his brother. Would you say that Cain had every intent to kill his brother? No. Now, I know about Esau. He was going to kill Jacob, but he never did. But Cain rose up against his brother, and then he killed him. In a rage, because anger takes you where you never intended to go. That's why you got to get rid of anger. You didn't mean to. Do you know the jails are full of people who never meant to do what they did, which caused them to be locked up? See it? We got to look at this. In fact, by now, as we go through these examples and discussions, we can see ourselves, right? Yes, we can. We can see ourselves. By the grace of God, maybe we've been spared a lot of this. But we need help. We need help. All of us do. Anger must be resolved. You cannot sit and live with your anger. Anger must be resolved. If you don't resolve your anger in your mind, in your head, it is like a thunderstorm. Correct? Correct? Absolutely. It is like a thunderstorm. And you put a wall, not just between you and the people that you're angry with, but you put a wall between you and God. Unresolved anger distances us from God. You know why? Because unresolved anger is sin. And if you go to Isaiah chapter 61, sin separates you from your God. God now is far away. And if God is far away, who walked away? You did. You dwelt on the anger. You clung to the anger. You were perhaps hoping for revenge. You would wish them the worst. You hang on to this emotion because you feel you're entitled to it. And you're not. You are sinning. It is a lie. The devil would have you believe this, that you cannot change. The devil would make you believe that we cannot change and therefore there's no point of trying. You come across people like that, that say so? That's me. I can't help it. They're perhaps not lying, but they're also not speaking the truth. Because there is a statement there, there is a text in Philippians, I can do all things, that includes getting over my temper, that includes of insisting of being right. Our biggest problem is that we want to insist that we are right. And everything and anything doesn't matter. We must be right. Yeah? No. That's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing. We must be right. Who strengthens me? He can take that away. God, through the Spirit, will take that away. And you must have it dealt with. The Bible teaches that when the Holy Spirit guides our life, that one fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You see, we went through them in the Sabbath school lesson. The fruits of the Spirit. And can you see the one there of self-control? You know that we have to learn self-control in our anger, in our annoyances, in our insistence, in our insistence that we're right and they are wrong. I see people wasting a lifetime with that attitude. Terrible thing. Terrible thing. And so, here in the book of James, there is this statement. I've always remembered this one. That the tongue is a fire and it is actually a world of iniquity. If only we would know when to shut up. So important. A word spoken in anger, a word spoken in anger. The tongue is set amongst our members that it defiles the whole body. It defiles the whole body. It does. That is what your tongue can do. That's what anger can do to you. It is impossible to take back those angry words. You cannot take. There's a saying in Chinese that the fastest horse can never catch a word spoken in anger. Because you can't take it back. Sometimes you wish you hadn't said that. You wish you would learn to not react like that. We all of us, no exception here, go through this. And we do these things because we don't have the Spirit in us as we should. And that's a fact. And we got to face that. And we got to get on our knees and pray for help. Because you're not going to solve it by yourself. You are not going to solve this. And by the way, this is a lifetime struggle. It is a life. We ought to help each other with this. Let there never be any discord between us. As we journey together to the gates of fire that will be opened for us if we learn how to surrender everything, including our anger. That's important. Impossible to take back those angry words. Jesus said this. I want you to have a look at this. This is interesting. He said, you have heard it was said to the people, by the people long ago, do not murder, because anyone who murders will be subject to what? Okay. That word judgment here in the Greek is krisis, and that means an executional judgment. So you are subjected, if you murder, to a executional judgment. And then he goes on to say, but I tell you that anyone who was angry with his brother. Now, to whom does this apply? Anyone. That anyone, and who's your brother? Or your sister? Anyone that's put on your path. He says, I tell you that anyone who's angry with his brother will be subject to executional judgment. Why? Because when you are angry, you have not forgiven. And if you have not forgiven, what happens to you? You are not forgiven. And if you are not forgiven, how are you going to make it through the judgment?
But it says you are. Without cause.
Aha. Without cause. Yeah, that's in one gospel. Yeah, I left it out. Because this applies to. Make no mistake.
Without cause.
Yeah, not every translation. There's a dispute about the translation, whether that is actually correct, that it was added later. I looked at that text. I left it out on purpose, but I appreciate what you're saying. Here we have an interesting thing. And I'm so glad you brought it up. On what are you relying when you say that you may have a cause? Think about
people
it.
Do things against other people.
And therefore, which is true, do we have the right to that anger? Right. That's it. Do we have the right to keep the anger? Do we resolve the anger? No. It's not good for you. Do we resolve? What happens if we don't resolve the anger? I don't want to take it too much into a debate.
God will deal with it.
Ah.
Always.
Ah.
Always.
But you and I have to be willing to give up the right to that anger. That's it. Okay? And I think we all agree with that. An interesting statement. Here is another.
A
little bit, but not too much. I have to finish. Why don't you just wait? You haven't heard yet what I was going to say. Okay. All right. That's okay. I'll forgive you. I'm not angry with you. Don't do it again. Don't you like that when people say that? Yeah. I'll tell you what, this may help you as well. Next moment you're in a dispute, you have an argument, and you think you're fully justified. Just think that Jesus is right standing next to you, or between you. Just think that he is there, right there, in person. I tell you something, if he was, and he was there, you would be a little bit more careful how you say things. Actually, I tell you, you'd be very careful how you say things. You have to give an account of every word. We forget that when we let fly. We forget that. And often you just let fly and you think, I'll pray for forgiveness after. Hang on a minute. Don't do that. That's a bad habit. Just do as if Jesus is there. Practice the presence of Christ. That is a biblical principle. The temple. The temple there, the ancient temple, what was it pointing towards? What did it personify?
Christ.
Everything about that temple. every design, every material, every structure, every ordinance, every furniture. Anything, furniture, you name it, colors, materials, metals, everything pointed to Christ. Remember Jesus saying that in Gospel of John, second chapter, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will, he was speaking of his body. Everything about the temple pointed to Christ. So they would go to the temple. And as they walked into the temple, the trumpets would welcome them. But when you got into that temple, in the days of Jesus, it's more like walking into a cattle market. It was more like a casino, really. It was like Paddy's Market. And worse. They were wheeling and dealing. It was absolutely, absolutely incredible what they'd made of it. And it was more like a bazaar. And it must have been a tumult that would have made void any reverence. And then there was the trading, the money making. They had their own currency and they were ripping off the system. Like nobody's business. The poor people who came from afar, who did not have that temple currency, which you can only use at the temple, and they were ripped off no end by the leaders of the nation that's supposed to be the instructors. And so here we have the most terrible practice until he came. Twice. In his ministry, he did this. At the very beginning and at the very end. Why did he do that? To begin with, as that temple pointed towards Jesus himself, he had every right to be insulted. He did. But it wasn't for himself. My Father's house. It was his Father who was denigrated in this practice. And when he walked in, you should read a story in a book called Desire of Ages. He walked in and he just stood there. And everybody started to look at him. And suddenly it went silent. And then his voice was ringing through the courts of the temple. You have made this a den of thieves. This is the house of prayer for all nations. And what did he do? I want you to see what he did do. You know what he did do? He went around and he actually, let me see, I've got a little bit of an image here. He went around and he threw over these tables. Now, I want you to understand something. When he did this, he didn't say to the trader, excuse me, can you lift your elbow, sorry. And you understand? He went like that. And like that. Oh, it almost went out of my hand. And he got a bunch of ropes. He was fuming, you might say. He was ropeable. And that was not to keep the flies away. And that was not to hit the tables. That was to hit who?
Them.
This is God. He never sinned, right? So when he did that, did he sin? No. He did. I'll pay you later, all right? Now there is something else here. Sorry. Spot on. When you are jealous for the name of your Savior, your God, and there's an anger in you, it's fine, but don't dwell on it. Here comes the lesson. When you read that account there in Matthew 21... both accounts, it was true. The blind and the lame came to him. The moment he stopped, they all did the runner. They ran away. Oh, man, nobody opposed him. Nobody did. And then when they were gone, all those who needed help, who needed comfort, they came. How much time between that and the other being chased out? Virtually none. They came, and he healed them. He attended to the needs. He sat down, and he talked to them, and he comforted them. He healed them, he comforted them. He ministered unto them. He was not saying, oh, those terrible, you know, look what they did. Shocking. There's a few dollars there. You know, he didn't say that. When he had finished cleansing the temple, he immediately was ready for his ministry. And you never could tell that was the same person who threw them out. You see, Jesus did not dwell on anger. I tell you another thing. The example of the rebuke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Listening? Yeah, all of his. I told you I was coming to that. I get very angry when people preempt what I'm saying. But I get over it. No, you shouldn't either. It's interesting. Brood of vipers. But my favorite author said, there were tears in his voice. He was trying to save them. He was trying to save them. You must not, here is the crunch, you must not be angry with the person. You may be angry with what they do. God loves the sinner, though he hates sin. Can you understand now why you need the Holy Spirit in your life? Because you can't do that of yourself. That's the difference. Okay? And you remember that? We've made tremendous progress today, for sure. Philip had a question to Jesus, and we close with this. Lord, show us the Father, he said, and it is sufficient for us. And you know the answer. So Jesus gave the answer, and Jesus said to him this, have I been so long with you? And he said, and yet you have not known me. Now the word Hebrew in Hebrew for known is really intimacy. It's really absolute knowledge. So he says, for 3 years more or less, they've been together day in, day out. You know me. What he's saying, if the Father had come instead of Jesus, then the story of the Gospels would be exactly the same. So when Jesus cleansed the temple, he took the ropes and he turned over those tables and he chased them out, the Father would have done the same thing. Are you with me? God means business. There is a judgment. For the good of the universe in eternity, he has to. And God is slow to anger, but he does get angry. Keep trying and you'll find out. To your demise. But he's so slow to anger. He is so patient. He said, yet you have not known me. And then he ends up saying, with just simply this, you know that, he who has seen me, he says, has seen the Father. That's the story for today. You see, it's about anger, isn't it? When I look at the life of Jesus, what he did, and I have no more time to dwell on this, but you know, but from the young age onwards, he knew where he was heading. He was heading towards Calvary, wasn't he? I would urge you to read those topics, those chapters in the book of Desire of Ages. Gethsemane. Calvary. It is finished. Read it. Reread it. The Spirit will give you insight every time you read it. I promise you, it worked for me, it'll work for you. when you consider what he has done for you, when you consider his patience, his forbearance, his long-suffering, his love, everything that he has done for you, how could you possibly be angry still? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And hey, we're going to walk through those gates one day. And when we meet there by the tree of life or on that magnificent river. And if we have any recollection of our life here today, and we might bring that up and say, why did we bother with those things? Why did... Oh, Pastor. You understand, this is ridiculous. In the core of time, in the background of eternity, don't hang on to anger. Now you put yourself on the altar to him when you kneel down, and you will have eternal life. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for everything that you are, for giving us life, for giving us life to the full in Jesus, and for your willingness to help us to get rid of our anger, our resentments. Lord, here we are. We're just a bunch of people. You know each and every one of us here. You know what we're like. You know where our shortcomings are. You know all about us. Help us to draw closer together as a family. Help us to work together, encouraging one and another to keep walking towards the light, to keep walking towards the new Jerusalem. And when Jesus returns, that we may have overcome every bit of anger. We thank you for being our God. And bless us now, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.